Good afternoon. You're listening to Glenn Coble, and the show is A Progressive Life, and we'll be on for the next 45 minutes. Tomorrow we'll have James Anderson with us, our naturalist for the county. But right now we have Dr. Ronald Feynman.
That's me.
Is that you? I'm yes. Struggling with my words today. I'm sorry about that.
Well, at least today you didn't talk about morning.
Yeah, that's true.
You got it straight this afternoon, except in California where your son lives.
Yeah, well, actually, in Chicago, it's still morning, I think.
Maybe. Actually, it's 11:17 because it's an hour difference.
Yeah, that's morning.
So it is morning. You're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
you got me there. How have you been?
I've been fine. I've been doing very well, and glad that spring is here.
Yeah, me too. And today is going to be our first 70-degree day in the year.
Well, I would guess so. Yeah, in the Midwest, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I found it interesting that one of our listeners, one of our friends, has decided that we ought to talk more about women in politics.
Yes.
Well, let's shoot it. Let's go for it. Now, if you will recall, back in November of 2018, I said that the top of the Democratic ticket should be Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And
correct. That was quite a thing that you thought that, especially Harris. But even Biden, I just wrote this past week about how many elections a year before the election one would never have thought that the person who became president would be, would win. And I published this in History News Network, and Joe Biden was one of those people because although I love him, I thought, well, not really likely, not likely. And look what happened.
When did it become apparent that he was going to win the nomination? I don't recall that.
After the South Carolina primary, because he had done horribly in New Hampshire
and in
Iowa, and it was like dead in the water. He was like fifth in New Hampshire, and it was all forget it. But then, South Carolina and Jim Clyburn really made a difference for him, and that's when he started to take off.
So what was that? Probably,
That was late March.
Late March.
Wasn't sure yet, but it was like starting. That's really the turning point, though.
Yep.
But also Obama in 2007. Who would think that he would have been the nominee?
Yeah.
Who would think Jimmy Carter in 1975 would be? Who would think Ronald Reagan in 79? The guy's almost 70. He's too old, everybody said. These are the kind of things people thought.
Yeah.
Nixon in 67. How in the world could Nixon, after losing in 60 and losing the governorship of California in 62, come back? Seems impossible. And the same with Kennedy in 59. A Catholic? After Alfred E. Smith failed? Forget it. He has no chance to be the president.
Yeah.
Et cetera. You could go back to Woodrow Wilson in 1911. Who would think he was? FDR in 1931. It's a whole list. I wrote in this article that came out last week. Ten people that really the year before the election, he's not going to go anywhere. It was impossible. And yet it happens. So you never really know what's going to happen next.
Was FDR a shoo-in? Or was he?
No, he was not. He had a deal with the Speaker of the House, John Nance Garner, who went up as his VP running mate because he was seen to have a good chance of getting it. Plus, the 1928 nominee, Alfred E. Smith, was still interested in coming back. So he only won it on the fourth ballot at the convention. And Walter Lippmann, the very famous journalist, had written about him that he's a nice guy without any special qualifications, but like to be president. And look what happened.
Now, when did he have his polio?
1921, he got his polio.
So it was before.
And he didn't go back into public life until 28 when he became New York governor. But honestly, I think most people figured, he's going nowhere. He might be governor. But I think the fact that, although most people didn't know he had polio, but I think the political pros would say, how could a guy who's in a wheelchair, and they knew it, even if the public didn't, how in the world, can this be possible? And of course, FDR kept the fact that he was paralyzed pretty much away from the public because this wasn't TV time. This was only radio, and reading about it. It's not like today you can't hide things the same way. So he really was not seen as likely, and people didn't think he'd go very far or be very successful. And look what happened.
Yeah.
with his faults, because he did have shortcomings, but still. And the same thing now, people are making fun of Joe Biden because he tripped on the on Air Force One, and he seems like he's disabled, some people think. And the answer is, even if he was disabled physically, FDR was disabled, but
absolutely,
he did fine. George Wallace was governor of Alabama, you know, even though he had been paralyzed in 1972. And the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, actually is in a wheelchair.
Yep.
He had a severe accident, and he can't walk normally. So, I mean, it's not as if people can't do things, even if they're physically disabled.
And we have a congresswoman, or is she a senator, that is legless. So,
so who's that? I'm not sure you're talking about.
She was shot down in a helicopter.
Oh yes, you're right. From Illinois. Tammy Duckworth,
yeah,
you're
Tammy
right.
Duckworth.
Yes, Tammy
and,
Duckworth, you're
and,
right.
And she's making, and that was one of the things I wanted to bring up, Tammy Duckworth, along with...
who's Asian American, too.
Yes.
Ireland background, yes.
But she's bringing up a point that if Biden does not add more diversity in his picks...
More Asian American.
Asian
Pacific
diversity.
Islanders, she was
yeah,
told.
She is going to stop... whatever is going through, you know, all the bills that are going through Congress now.
Well, actually, she said that, but I think I just saw this morning she backed off on that.
I hope so. It just
that's,
seems
that's
to
ridiculous,
me.
Really.
It's anti-democratic.
Yeah, Mazie Hirono, also Asian
yes.
from Hawaii, also had said she was thinking
she
about not supporting,
her.
But
yeah.
she also backed off.
Oh, good.
Sometimes they say too much. You can think things. You don't have to talk out loud. You get into trouble only when you speak up too much.
That's why they have back rooms around Congress. You talk to people
yes.
behind the scenes and say,
yeah.
I really won't support you if you don't do this, but you don't say, I'm going to stop all the progress. That's one of the things that I'm afraid the Republicans have done. They've said, well, we're going to stop all the progress if you don't do it our way.
And yet, a lot of Republican voters seem to like what Joe Biden's doing.
Yeah.
They want gun regulations, even though the Republicans don't, after these two horrendous
yes.
massacres this past week.
90% of the general public wants background checks. And the Republican Party has decided, well, background checks are bad, and I don't know why. We have background checks for a lot of things. For your job, you probably had a background check.
Yes, and now for voting, they want to make it you can't vote in many cases.
Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous, yeah.
Now,
I think Joe Biden has hinted that he wants to do as much as he can within limits, another great society like LBJ, really move forward on a lot of issues. I don't know whether he'll succeed in it, but he has the goal, and that's pleasing progressives because he's sort of like has a background as a centrist, but now he's moving to the left, not extreme left, but more left, and I think that really is inspiring.
Well, I'm a little surprised that we're getting such a pushback from the Republican side of the aisle on this $3 trillion infrastructure thing. Now, I understand Republicans have been fiscally hyper-conservative, and this definitely goes in the face of that. So,
yeah, bull feathers, you know what I'm saying, instead of saying the other half word. that term came up years ago when we had our kids, and my wife said to me, you can't use the word BS, you have to say bull feathers.
Okay, bull
that was
feathers.
Cute, so
I like
always
bull feathers.
Have used it since.
Have you ever seen a bull feather?
No, I have never. But it's just
nor
a way
I.
to say what you want to say and not be crude, you know?
Gotcha. Well,
after look at the fact they added a couple of trillion
on the tax thing,
taxes, you know, as far as lowering taxes for the wealthy
yeah.
in 2017 to the national debt, but that's all right. That's not a problem in their mind.
And the problem is, we always do. If I do it, but you know, there's always a but in there. But you can't do it. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, well, you know, based on what Ted Cruz said yesterday in the Judiciary Committee, complaining about the idea of any kind of regulation, I decided, I'm in the process of doing it, having to have published it, the worst of the worst, the dozen most disgraceful, reprehensible Republican senators in 2021. You want to hear my list?
Sure, might as well. But I tell you, you better be careful because Rachel might come after you. I think she's already got one going.
And the thing is, there's even a woman on the list, Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee.
Oh, well, I'm
sorry. The congresswoman. Oh, she's horrendous.
How about Green?
Now, she's just horrendous.
How about Green, Congresswoman Green?
Well, I'm talking about the Senate.
You're talking Senate.
Well, Green, okay. I'll get another one on the House.
Okay.
And I'm doing it alphabetically by state.
Okay.
It's a dozen. Tom Cotton of Arkansas.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, obviously he's planning to run for president. Rick Scott of Florida. Mm-hmm. I almost vomit every time I look at him. He's been a horrible governor, and he's a miserable wretch. And he and Cotton have voted, he and Cotton and a couple of others have voted almost against every cabinet appointment
of
Biden, you know?
I think of them as the two white twins. They're almost identical in everything they do.
But Scott is like 65, and Cotton's like 40-something.
Yeah.
He's very different. But Rick Scott is a terrible person. Mitch McConnell of Kentucky is next. Rand Paul of Kentucky, the worst state of the two senators combined, I think is that, you know. And then John Kennedy of Louisiana. Oh my! No relation to John F. Kennedy, but oh my God, I can't believe this man. He sounds like such a moron, everything he says, you know.
He's just a good old boy.
Yes, and then Josh Hawley of Missouri, the traitor, as far as I'm concerned, for what happened on January 6th. Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma, who's in his late 80s and should retire. Lindsey Graham, of course, of South Carolina. Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee. Ted Cruz, of course, of Texas. Mike Lee of Utah. And Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. That's my 12 worst.
Those are pretty bad people.
What about the states, you know?
Well, tell me, who do you think is the best senator?
Oh, boy, the very best.
Yeah.
There's a whole group of them. I'd have to have the list in front of me.
Well,
I'm going to look it up, and I'll tell you in a moment.
I've got to say Sherrod Brown's the best here in Ohio.
Well, actually, I must say, you know, the two senators from Ohio are not bad. I think Rob Portman is one of the better Republican senators. You know, I would say that, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let me go through the list alphabetically. Okay, well, let me see. I would say, let's see. Well, if I want to give a Republican some credit, I'd say Lisa Murkowski,
I guess,
could be one of the best.
A little weak in her strength, in her stalwartness, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but I would say, but I assume you're thinking of Democrats more, probably. So if I'm looking at Democrats, definitely Chris Murphy of Connecticut. I love the guy. I think he's great. There was rumors he was going to run in 2020, and I was supportive of the idea that he could be one of the potential candidates. He didn't. At the end, he thought about it, but then didn't do so. I think Chris Murphy's really good. I also think, let's see who else. I would like to put John Ossoff, the new senator from Georgia, on the list. I'm very impressed by him.
Yeah, yeah.
So he'd be a second one.
Is he smart.
Maisie Hirono of Hawaii, I think, is really good, too. She's really outstanding. I think Tammy Duckworth also is, so we're getting some women in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we do have some good women. And then I think I would say next, I'm going down the list, I think I would say, Elizabeth Warren, certainly I'd put on that list. So I think Adam Lepp will be happy, right? We're talking about a lot of women. That's, I think, five already. Amy Klobuchar, another one, six.
Oh, yes, excellent.
We like Amy Klobuchar. And let's see, I'm up to Missouri.
I'd put Kamala on there, except for she's no longer a senator.
Well, yeah, of course, that's true. But that's six. And then I think, actually, for a Republican, I'd say maybe not in the same list. Ben Sasse is fairly decent, I'd
thoughtful
say.
Thoughtful guy.
And Mitt Romney's somewhat. Yeah. So even though I never cared for him, but he seems better now. So anyway, with that six Democrats, then I think I would add, Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader,
sure.
I would say is seven. Sherrod Brown, for sure, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, I think, is one of the better ones. Really quite inspiring a lot of the time. Jeff Merkley and Ron Wyden of Oregon are both very good.
You're naming all the Democrats here.
Yes, well, I said primarily. The only ones are not are Sasse, Romney, and Murkowski.
Yeah.
I think are Republicans. And then I would add Sheldon Whitehouse. I've always said, why doesn't he run for president? President Whitehouse, isn't that some name?
That would be quite a name, yes. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure he got teased a lot over the years by that.
You know who I'd like to see run for office is Sherrod Brown's wife.
Yes, right.
She is so much fun to read. My wife reads her blog to me.
Yes, she's wonderful. Yes,
she
and Bernie
fantastic.
Sanders, I would put on the
who's
list.
That?
And Patrick Leahy, I also would.
Okay.
Who is the president pro tempore now?
Yeah.
And I think that's probably pretty much. Well, Tammy Baldwin also is quite good from Wisconsin. So it's about 14 I've named there. But quite a few of them are women because the Democratic women stand out. especially in the Senate, much more. In the House, they're more controversial because a number of them are of ethnic minorities, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, yeah. You know, people like that. So they make a lot of people angry. But actually, I think she's very smart.
Yeah, well, I'm sure she's smart.
Yeah. Now, and as far as Republicans in the Senate, they're pretty atrocious. And the ones in the House, like the recent ones, like Lauren Boebert, who loves guns and is from, of course, from Colorado.
Yeah.
And she's had people viciously attacking her because all she talks about is thoughts and prayers after what happened, because she doesn't believe in any kind of gun regulation.
With the picture of all those guns behind her, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, some people think she's mentally ill. I think there was something really wrong with her in any case, you know.
Oh, my.
And some of these people, I don't know how they dredge these people up to run. That's the thing. There's no qualifications to run. You can be of any background. But, you know, it's one thing to say Abraham Lincoln never had schooling. But now for some people that never even finished high school or they got a GED. I'm saying a GED is bad. But I would think you should have qualifications today to run for public office. But a lot of people, that's not the way it is.
Is that Boebert that has a GED?
I think she's the one, yeah.
I think so, too. Yeah.
And also, of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Oh, my God.
Interesting person.
I don't even know she is a person, if you know what I mean.
She's
terrible, you know?
Kind of strange lady.
Yes, very strange lady.
We have a lot of far outside the
mainstream
people.
Well, some people think some of the Democratic House women are also outside the mainstream. Depends on your definition.
I guess. Yeah, a lot of people think that about OAC, that she's outside the boundaries. But I think
she's a
pretty smart lady.
I'm not saying I'd want her to run for president, but as a House member, I think she's fine.
Yeah. Now, when I was running for state representative, I pulled up all of the Democratic state representatives and the Republican state representatives, and there were by far more Republicans. Probably about 60% of them were Republican, but probably 95% of the Republicans running for state representative were white, older males.
Yes.
And
that's the Republican Party.
But the Democrats were pretty well mixed.
Yes, and younger.
Men and women, and younger, and diverse.
Yes. That's the way the party's on now.
Yeah.
And that's why the Republican Party is doomed unless it starts changing its way of looking at things. It needs to recruit people of all backgrounds and not all have to be Trumpite types. And that's the problem, you know.
I assume that you aren't one of those people that hopes the Republican Party just goes away and dies. Are you?
Well, the thing is, if it does, we're going to have to have a replacement party because
it's a
strong two-party system.
Yeah, we have to have somebody that is contrarian to what the Democratic Party thinks. I mean, I always thought it was a good idea to have people that were far more fiscally conservative than some of the Democrats. But there are times when you need fiscal strength, like we have right now. You need somebody that says, okay, I'm going to spend $3,000 on infrastructure, or $3 trillion. $3 trillion on infrastructure. Now, that's, if I recall correctly, that's pretty much a bipartisan thought, isn't it? To spend,
we definitely need infrastructure improvement.
Yeah.
My God, it's been long overdue for decades, you know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, that includes things like rail. It includes things like better highways.
Yes.
Now, I found it interesting. I was reading that when Eisenhower proposed the interstate highway, he required that every 5 miles, one of the miles be straight so that airplanes could land on it if they had to.
Yes.
That's kind of interesting forethought.
Well, Eisenhower looks better all the time. He looks pretty good, but he has really improved because some people think he's the last, quote, decent Republican president.
Well, you know,
on your definition of decent.
This is terrible to say, but I really think Nixon could have been a decent
president. Well, I think he was in many ways, except for his paranoia and his criminality. But as far as his promoting a lot, going along with a lot of Democratic programs, like the Environmental Protection Agency, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, OSHA, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, all things promoted by a Democratic Congress. He had a Democratic Congress, but he went along. If he had vetoed those, it never would have become law because he couldn't get a two-thirds override. So he actually does get credit for domestic changes that are important, yes.
Since you touched on it, what's going to happen with the filibuster?
It's going to be modified, I think. At least a talking filibuster. And that's going to make it much harder because you're going to have 41 senators willing to talk forever. And I think we're going to be moving to at least do that and possibly lower the filibuster limit to maybe 55, which is still a problem. Of course, you have to still get five on the other side. But, you know, there are people on the other side, the ones who I think are the base of the future Republican Party, meaning a Murkowski, even a Collins, although she annoys me at times, Susan Collins, and also a Sass, and also a Romney type, and like in the House, and he's not in the Senate, Kinzinger, the House member. People like that are the future of the party. The kind of people that are now planning to run for the seats that are being vacated, including in Ohio, I think they're atrocious, and I'm hoping the Democrats can win some of those seats.
I'm concerned about Ohio, but I would like to see it too. Now, doesn't it seem logical that the filibuster should, if it's a talking filibuster, that's one thing. But if you have to have 60 people to pass anything, that's not democratic.
No, but it used to be 67 until 1975.
It's still not democratic.
I know, but
it
went
down to 55 and it'll still not be.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I missed that. I'm sorry, what?
Even if it gets down to 55, it still won't be democratic.
Small d.
In nature. Yeah, small d.
Yes, and also most of the time that filibuster has been used to deny racial equality and promote promote lynching instead of anti-lynching or against civil rights instead of for civil rights. It's mostly been a racial thing, yes, and it's disgraceful in a country like ours that should be going on even now.
Do you remember when the idea of requiring a certain number of people were the filibuster as opposed to the talking filibuster? When was that? Do you remember?
Well, in 1964, the Civil Rights Act, it was a talking filibuster, but LBJ said, we'll wait them out to get the Civil Rights Act, and he finally wore them out.
Yeah.
And it's not that they all voted for it, just allow the end of the filibuster to allow a majority to vote for the Civil Rights Act. Right. So after that, in the 70s, when it went down to 60, it no longer was as required that you had to actually get up and talk constantly. Now you could just make a phone call and say, I'm against this, and that stops everything. It's crazy.
Why was that even allowed? It's not...
Well, for convenience of the senators. Remember, senators are there for themselves. I mean, as a group, I mean, I love a lot of them. But the senators are a group of 100 egotistical maniacs who all think that they're just great and they don't have to follow rules like everybody else. That's why the Senate is anti-democracy in its basic nature, that North Dakota and South Dakota have 4 votes, California has 1. There's almost nobody living in North or South Dakota. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
Now, I heard on the...
And I don't know what can be done about it.
I heard on Rachel last night, I think it was, that North and South Dakota were going to be just Dakota, but they decided to make them North and South Dakota so that they got 4 senators instead of 2. Is that?
Yes, that is true. Back in the 1890s, I think it was.
Wow.
Yes, and that's why it is time to give Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico statehood, and that's 4 more probably Democratic votes.
Do you think that... I would think that Washington, D.C. would have a better chance than Puerto Rico, just because Puerto Rico is offshore.
Well, so is Hawaii.
Yeah, that's true. And Hawaii is way offshore.
Hawaii is primarily Asian.
Yeah.
It's not white primarily.
It's only 4,000 miles away.
Yes. The thing with Washington, D.C., there was a constitutional amendment that got through the House and Senate in the 1970s.
I remember that.
Out of D.C., but when it went to the states, you need 38 out of 53 fourths. Only about 8 or 9 states did it. And, of course, it was clearly because at that point, particularly a vast majority of D.C. residents were black. Today, it's not quite the same percentage black. It's like, you know, a lot more whites have moved into D.C. It's very different D.C. from what it was 50 years ago.
I think I heard him say 41 or 42% are African American. Yeah.
Yes. So the point is, it's still a racial thing, and Puerto Rico is also a racial thing.
Yep.
Race is all over the Republican Party. They are, as I said last week, and I think I told you, they're like the 1861 Democratic Party at the time of the Civil War. They're living in the past, and they just don't want to accept the fact white America is going to be a minority of the country in 2045, whether they like it or not. It's right. The way it is.
Yeah.
Got to adjust to it. And I think a Romney, Murkowski, Collins, Sass type of Republican is rational and reasonable and is the future. I'm not saying those people are people like that, but at the same time, we have people like in Ohio. One of the people running is, you know, he's a young guy and he's well known, and I know people who know of his family, and they say the family is very powerful in Ohio, but they also, these people say that the family is despicable. Josh Mandel is running for that Rob Portman.
Yes.
And, you know, he looks like a nice young man, but his views are so outrageously right wing.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't mention his name around my wife.
But she doesn't like him either.
Oh, she hates him.
The whole family. I mean, they give a lot to Ohio and Cleveland. They, you know, as far as charity and things. But at least his son, you know, the political views. He's tried twice. I think he ran for governor or senator and lost. But he's coming back, and he's all Trumpite now. Oh my God, you know.
Well, I don't understand, and maybe I'm just totally naive and ignorant, but I don't understand why people are afraid of other races, other religions, other colors.
Because they're taught by their families, I think. And also, based on what you said, by churches also teach that. Some churches teach that.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, gosh, I'm glad I'm agnostic.
Yes,
or atheist.
Some evangelical groups really are very much promoting white supremacy. Some, I'm not saying all.
Yeah.
Some of them do. And also, as far as Orthodox Jews, they're not very open-minded to people of minority background as a group. I'm not saying every person, but it shocks me sometimes what I've read and heard from people, you know?
Maybe my audience doesn't know, but I'm pretty sure we've talked about it. You're Jewish.
Yes, but I'm not Orthodox.
How do you deal with your friends who are Orthodox?
Well, I don't have actually close friends. I know some people are Orthodox, but I wouldn't call them really friends. They're more acquaintances. But as long as we don't get into a dispute, they can have their views. But I just know there's this one person that has read my blog, and she's a woman, and she keeps on sending me emails. It shows such hate about blacks and about others, and I know she's Orthodox, and I pretty much ignore it. I used to answer, and she would write back saying, Ronnie this, Ronnie that, which is so rude, you know. So I just look at it, and I don't answer anymore, so she doesn't get satisfaction. But I don't actually know her personally. But there's just some really hateful people, you know, that promote races, and some of them are Jewish, not saying a lot, but some are, and a lot of racism and also hatred of other minorities, and, you know, and think that you have to go along with everything that Israel's government, Netanyahu does, or otherwise you're not a good person on Israel. Yeah. I'm a critic of Israel, like I'm a critic of America. I can believe in Israel and believe in America, but don't have to agree with everything.
Well, Netanyahu got another vote of confidence.
I thought it was unsettled that he had a majority.
I saw on CNN yesterday that he got the majority, but
he did.
I may be wrong. But
no, I saw something that said he was asking other groups with, you know, other political parties to join him. So I haven't kept up with that. I didn't have time today. So I hope he has still a stalemate. I don't like the idea of him having a clear majority. Yeah. I don't think that's good for Israel, personally, but that's me, you know.
Yeah. Now, I got to tell you this. Yesterday, my neighborhood here in Marion, it's a nice middle-class neighborhood, and my neighborhood is pretty racially correct for Marion. We have three, maybe four African-American families, not always families, but households, on our block of maybe, I don't know, 20.
Yeah, I have
houses.
Mix here, too. We have Asian-American, we have African-American and Latinos. My neighbor on one side is Latino, you know, from Cuba, you know, so yeah, it's a nice mix here, and I don't care. And I don't care what people are, as long as they don't cause trouble, you know.
I love the mix, and I was walking, I do about 2.25 miles every day now that the sun's come out. And other than that, I'm on my treadmill. I hate that. Don't do that. But I do it. But anyway, I was walking down my street, and this cute little, I don't know, 8-10-year-old girl's out front with her chalk, you know, writing on the sidewalk chalk. And as I walk by, I look down, and it says, Black Lives Matter. Now, where in the world would an 8-year-old child find out about that? If it not her parents. Obviously, her parents care. But I was so happy to see that a young person like that is being brought up to let people be.
Okay, so this young girl is black, or she's white?
No, she's white. She's white.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think that's great, too, because I know a lot of people who seem to think saying that means that if you believe in Black Lives Matter, that means you don't believe in white lives or blue lives.
That's ridiculous. Yeah.
You can believe in it all, but certainly the mistreatment of blacks and other minorities is something that has to be dealt with when you have all these police killings.
Yes.
But on the other hand, we have to also salute the police who face danger every day as that cop, of course, in Colorado.
Absolutely.
You know, died. And, so again, you have to respect police, but you got to weed out those who should not be police officers.
Yeah, and there are police that shouldn't be policemen, and there are ministers that shouldn't be ministers. So we have some work to do. Now, what do you think about the idea of doing away with like the AR-15 and all military weapons?
Nobody other than the military or police to have assault rifles. There's no need. You can have a gun. You can have a handgun.
Sure.
I just don't understand why people, there's something wrong with people that have to have those kind of things, because that's not just shooting, that's obliterating someone.
Yeah.
You know, it's sickening. And imagine what those cops and others, you know, who come to clean up a massacre, what they see that they can never get out of their mind.
Yeah.
You know, and then the thought of the families that, I guess, don't see the remains of their loved one. But can you imagine? How do you ever get over that?
I have no idea. How do you see
the military? You might, if you're in war, see that. And that's horrible, too. But this is in our own country. We're not supposed to see each other as enemies.
And people that want to keep military-style weapons available, that's basically saying, okay, if somebody's going to shoot other people, I want them obliterated, because that's what the AR-15, I shot the M16 when I was in the service, and they showed us the difference between, it was an M1, I think we were shooting before that. I was in the transition period, M1 or M4, I can't remember what it was. But anyway, we shot cans of gas cans of water at the end of the shooting range, and the M1, the bullet went right through. Now, sure, it made a hole, and it made a pretty good hole coming out. But when we shot the M16, which is a military-style combat weapon, it exploded that can of water. I mean, that's what these guns do. And there's no need in the world. If you go hunting a deer, why do you want to take the entire left side of the deer off and make it unusable? I'm not a big hunter anyway.
Sick.
Yeah.
And the thing is, imagine the person in that supermarket shot. It means you wouldn't even know what the person looked like.
Well, that's why all of them died. Because they were shot with military-style weapon. If they'd been shot with a 45, it wouldn't have been as bad, you know, a pistol.
God.
But, and then another question was raised, why have open carry? So that people can walk right into a supermarket. Nobody can say anything. Oh, yeah, it's okay to carry your gun in here. And then you raise it and blow away 10 people.
There's no need to have something like that. You have paranoid schizophrenic to think all around you you're in danger all the time.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay. It really is.
Scary, yeah.
But then, of course, I never have touched a gun, and I don't want to. I collect busts of historic figures.
Cool. I'd like to see that. You need to email me a picture of it.
I have a bust of every president of the United States.
Wow.
Except for Trump. And of course, and Joe Biden I don't have yet. But everyone, even the obscure ones, even William Henry Harris in 1 month, I have a bust of him.
Huh. It sounds
crazy in
sounds
a different
cool.
way, the safe way.
Yeah. Well, now, my wife asked me last night. She said, when you were practice range on the practice range, firing the M16, what were you thinking? And I said, I thought it was fun. And it was fun firing that because you could get three shots off in a second, and they allowed us to put it automatic occasionally, not very often, but the shots would be that fast. You know, it would be like a machine gun. It wasn't.
Oh, it's worse than that.
Yeah, but most of the time they made us keep them manual. But still, you can fire pretty fast as long as your finger's fast.
Yeah.
And I found it fun to shoot, but it doesn't mean I need to have one in my house.
No, or carry it around everywhere you go.
Carry it around, yeah. And the people that do carry it around, it just seems, my impression, and I know this probably is not true of all people, but the people that I have seen wearing a gun on their hip or carrying a weapon in where there's no need for a weapon, they're just trying to, one, intimidate other people around them, and two, pretend like they're cowboys or something, or soldiers. Or
I think they're mentally disturbed, to be honest. There's no need, you know?
There isn't a need. And I had disagreements with people while I was running for office because everybody knew I was against that type of weapon, and everybody knew that I was against open carry. I don't like closed carry unless you're a policeman or something like that. But people would say, oh, there's no difference. Well, there is a difference. If you've ever seen what a bullet will do to a person if it's fired, the difference between firing it from an M16 and firing it from a normal rifle, you'll see the difference. It just explodes the other side. There's no, very little hope of saving somebody who's shot in the stomach with an M16 or an AR-15 or any of those combat weapons.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you before we go about Ohio's governor.
Yes.
The governor is being attacked by many because he's keeping some regulations about COVID-19. And there's this one candidate who's a businessman, but that doesn't mean everybody who's a businessman should be running for governor or president. Blystone, I've seen pictures of him. Do you know much about him?
No, I do not know much about him. I haven't really gotten
this white beard. You know, to me, it looks a little weird somehow. That's just my impression. Do you know anything about him?
I do not. I do not. So if I'd say anything, it would be, I'd just be guessing. So.
Well, I know someone that you know who seems to be promoting him.
Oh, okay. All right. I know who you're talking about then.
Yes.
Okay.
And I've seen the picture of him, and I'm thinking, who in the world is this guy? And he's never been in public office, but he's attacking the governor on what he's doing and talking about freedom and all this other stuff. And I don't know. I just don't get it. And I'm wondering, has this guy got a serious chance to win the Republican nomination and become the governor? I don't know.
I don't know. So we've got to figure out what freedom really means. people use freedom on both sides of the fence there. I need to have my freedom. I should be able to carry my M16 into a bank.
Yeah, I don't know what this person feels about guns either. Probably thinks, you know, open carry is fine. But apparently he's just upset about that we have according to this guy, the governor's like a dictator. I don't see him as a dictator. I think I give him a lot of credit.
I think Governor DeWine...
Republican, but I'm giving him credit.
I think he's, as good as a Republican can be right now, and I think there's a lot of reasons why Republicans aren't very good right now, because I don't think they are... emblematic of the population. Because,
and I think if John Kasich had still been the governor, he would have done the same thing Mike DeWine is doing.
Yeah, I'm thinking you're probably right.
Kasich is a decent guy. He's the kind of a guy for the future, although he's not that young anymore. He's the kind of guy for a future Republican Party that's responsible and sensible, you know.
Well, now, the thing that bothered me, I was watching a show that talks about Ohio politics, and apparently... in the last election, 47,000 more Democrats voted and only 40% of our politicians won. That's kind of saying, it either says the Democratic Party picked the absolute worst candidates they could have.
Gerrymandering.
Or the gerrymandering has really taken over.
It's like it has in many other states,
yeah.
But I'm thinking, is in 2023, is it going to be Governor Blystone and Senator Mandel? I think that's a horrendous thought, you know?
I don't know. I know more about Mandel than I know about this other gentleman that you're talking about.
Think of it, Portman and DeWine and Kasich. That's responsible Republicans, you know what
I
mean?
Yeah, I like responsible Republicans. Even if I disagree with them, I like them because at least they're thinking.
And Portman is decent.
Yeah.
He's not great. I don't love him, but he's decent, you know?
Well, my wife would disagree with you, but...
Well, I mean, compared to alternatives, I'm saying.
I've sent him some nasty notes, but...
Well, again, he's not as good as you know, as other senators. But I think for a Republican, he's on the short list of better than
the
others.
Yeah, he's probably more fair. Yeah,
but Sherrod Brown is better. I like Sherrod Brown a lot.
I like his dogs.
And also like Connie Schultz.
Yeah, and she is a terrific. She's a terrific thinking person.
Someone who said if he had run for, not that he would have gotten it, if he had run for president, she would be the first lady. She'd be quite a first lady, wouldn't she?
She would be a great first lady, but we've had a couple of good ones. I think
we have a good one, Dr.
Yeah,
Jill.
I think Jill is a real smart lady. And Michelle, there's no question in my mind that she is a brilliant woman.
And right now, the two people behind Joe Biden are both females, meaning, of course, Vice President Harris and Speaker Pelosi.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know a relative of mine who thinks they're both conspiring against him to take over. Can you believe that?
Well, yeah, no,
that's
I don't.
Crazy.
I don't believe that.
I love my cousin, so... he knows I don't agree with him, but he says he doesn't like either of them. He thinks they're both manipulating him. I said, he's not the kind to be manipulated, believe me.
I doubt that he will be manipulated. However, politics is a manipulatory profession to be in.
Yeah,
people,
but you know what I say? What I said to him? I said, even if you think they're manipulating, there's another woman, Dr. Jill, who would not allow it.
Yeah, I don't
She's not going to be quiet. She's like Nancy Reagan in that sense. She's up for her husband. And I give Nancy Reagan credit for that. So nobody's going to manipulate Joe as long as Dr. Jill is there, you know?
We've had a lot of brilliant first ladies, I think.
And then we've had, of course, Melania.
Melania, yeah. Okay. I don't want to go anywhere with that lady. I'm sure she's a nice person somewhere.
Well, I don't know. She doesn't impress me one bit. Anyway, we're about out of time, I see.
Yeah, we're down to 45 seconds, so give me your last shot here, and we'll get the heck out.
I'll just say that you can contact me on theprogressiveprofessor.com or historynewsnetwork.org under Ronald L. Fineman, or on Facebook or on Twitter. On Twitter, as Politist. Politist. And the last thing I want to say is, one time you and I have to be on Skype, and I'll show you some of my busts.
Okay, yeah. Am I allowed to look
at
your bust?
I can come and watch, too.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Dr. Fineman. We'll talk to you next week, all right?
Very definitely. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Ronald Fineman. Whatever. The time. And we're going to get out of here.
You're listening to WWGH Radio, LP, Marion, Ohio. Anyway, I'm going to give it now, 740-383-9944. We're doing